To be perfectly frank, what has happened these last 2 months is upon my head. The death, destruction, loss, and pain are my burden. I should have seen it coming, and I should have stopped it.
From the personal journal of Navani Kolin, Yesesis 1174. Shallan pinched the thin charcoal pencil and drew a series of straight lines radiating from a sphere on the horizon. That sphere wasn't quite the sun, nor was it one of the moons. Clouds outlined in charcoal seemed to stream toward it, and the sea beneath them, a drawing could not convey the bizarre nature of that ocean, made not of water, but of small beads of translucent glass. Shallan remembered that place. Yasna knew much more of it than she would speak of to her ward, and Shallan wasn't certain how to ask.
How does one demand answers after a betrayal such as mine?
Only a few days had passed since that event, and Shallan still didn't know exactly how her relationship with Yasna would proceed. The deck rocked as the ship tacked, enormous sails fluttering overhead. Shallan was forced to grab the railing with a clothed safe hand to steady herself. Captain Toesbeck had said that so far, the seas hadn't been bad for this part of Longbrow Straits. However, she might have to go below if the waves and motion got much worse. Shallan tried to relax as the ship settled. A chill wind blew, and windspren zipped past on invisible air currents. Every time the sea grew rough, Shallan remembered that day, that alien ocean of glass beads. She looked down again at what she'd drawn. She had only glimpsed that place, and her sketch was not perfect. She frowned. On her paper, a pattern had risen, like an embossing. What had she done? That pattern was almost as wide as the page, a sequence of complex lines with sharp angles and repeated arrowhead shapes. Was it an effect of drawing that weird place, the place Yasna said was named Shadesmar? Shallan hesitantly moved her free hand to feel the unnatural ridges on the page. The pattern moved, sliding across the page like an axe hound pup under a bedsheet. Shallan leapt from her seat, dropping her sketchpad to the deck. The loose pages slumped to the planks, fluttering and then scattering in the wind.
You all right, young miss?
Toesbeck looked over from a conversation with one of his mates. The short, portly Toesbeck wore a wide sash and a coat of gold and red matched by the cap on his head. He wore his eyebrows up and stiffened into a fanned shape above his eyes.
I'm well, Captain. I was merely spooked.
Yelm stepped up to her, proffering the pages.
Your accoutrements, my lady?
Accoutrements?
Sure. I'm practicing my fancy words. They help a fellow obtain reasonable feminine companionship. You know, the kind of young lady who doesn't smell too bad and has at least a few teeth left.
Lovely. Well, depending on your definition of lovely, at least.
She suppressed further quips, suspiciously regarding the stack of pages in her hand. The picture she'd drawn of Shadesmar was on top, no longer bearing the strange embossed ridges.
What happened? Did a Kremlin crawl out from under you or something?
It was nothing.
Shallan tucked the pages away into her satchel. Yelb gave her a little salute. She had no idea why he had taken to doing that, and went back to tying rigging with the other sailors. Shallan smiled. It was indeed fortunate that Toesbeck had been delayed in Carbranth. She liked this crew, and was happy that Yasna had selected them for their voyage. Shallan sat back down on the box that Captain Toesbeck had ordered lashed beside the railing so she could enjoy the sea as they sailed. She had to be wary of the spray, which wasn't terribly good for her sketches, but so long as the seas weren't rough, the opportunity to watch the waters was worth the trouble.
Land ho!
Shallan squinted in the direction the scout pointed. They were within sight of the distant mainland, sailing parallel to it. In fact, they'd docked at port last night to shelter from the high storm that had blown past. When sailing, you always wanted to be near to port. Venturing into open seas when a high storm could surprise you was suicidal. The smear of darkness to the north was the Frostlands, a largely uninhabited area along the bottom edge of Roshar. Occasionally, she caught a glimpse of higher cliffs to the south. Thelena, the great island kingdom, made another barrier there. The straits passed between the two. The lookout had spotted something in the waves just north of the ship, a bobbing shape that at first appeared to be a large log. No, it was much larger than that, and wider. Shallan stood, squinting, as it drew closer. It turned out to be a domed brown-green shell, about the size of three rowboats lashed together. As they passed by, the shell came up alongside the ship and somehow managed to keep pace, sticking up out of the water perhaps 6 or 8 feet.
A Xanthid!
Shallan leaned out over the rail. Xanthidin were so reclusive that some of her books claimed they were extinct and all modern reports of them untrustworthy.
You are good luck, young miss. We ain't seen a Xanthid in years.
You still aren't seeing one, only the top of its shell.
To her disappointment, waters hid anything else, save shadows of something in the depths that might have been long arms extending downward. Stories claimed the beasts would sometimes follow ships for days, waiting out in the sea as the vessel went into port, then following them again once the ship left.
The shell is all you ever see of one. Passions, this is a good sign.
Shallan clutched her satchel. She took a memory of the creature down there beside the ship by closing her eyes, fixing the image of it in her head so she could draw it with precision.
Draw what, though? A lump in the water? Bring me that rope.
Rightness?
Tie a loop in one end. I need to get a look at the Xanthid. I've never actually put my head underwater in the ocean. Will the salt make it difficult to see?
Underwater?
You're not tying the rope.
Because I'm not a storming fool. Captain will have my head in...
Get a friend.
Shallan ignored him and took the rope to tie one end into a small loop.
You're going to lower me down over the side, and I'm going to get a glimpse of what's under the shell. Do you realize that nobody has ever produced a drawing of a live Xanthid? All the ones that have washed up on beaches were badly decomposed, and since sailors consider hunting the things to be bad luck...
It is! Ain't nobody going to kill one!
Shallan finished the loop and hurried to the side of the ship, her red hair whipping around her face as she leaned out over the rail. The Xanthid was still there. She could see no fins. She looked back at Yalb, who held the rope, grinning.
Oh, Brightness, is this payback for what I said about your backside to Besnik? That was just in jest. But you got me good. Oh, Storms, you serious?
I'll not have another opportunity like this. Naladin chased these things for most of her life and never got a good look at one.
This is insanity.
No, this is scholarship. I don't know what kind of view I can get through the water, but I have to try.
We have masks, made from a tortoise shell with glass and hollowed-out holes in the front and bladders along the edges to keep the water out. You can duck your head underwater with one on and see. We use them to check over the hull at dock.
Wonderful!
Of course, I'd have to go to the captain to get permission to take one.
Devious of you. Well, get to it!
What happened to you and Cabrant? Your first trip with us, you were so timid. You looked like you'd faint at the mere thought of sailing away from your homeland.
This is somewhat foolhardy, isn't it?
Hanging from a moving ship and sticking your head in the water? Yeah, kind of a little.
Do you think we could stop the ship?
Yalb jogged off to speak with the captain, taking her query as an indication she was still determined to go through with her plan. And she was.
What did happen to me?
The answer was simple. She'd lost everything. She'd stolen from Yasna Kolin, one of the most powerful women in the world, and in so doing, had not only lost her chance to study, as she'd always dreamed, but had also doomed her brothers and her house. She had failed utterly and miserably, and she'd pulled through it. She wasn't unscathed. Her credibility with Yasna had been severely wounded, and she felt that she had all but abandoned her family. But something about the experience of stealing Yasna's soulcaster, which had turned out to be a fake anyway, then nearly being killed by a man she thought was in love with her. Well, she now had a better idea of how bad things could get. It was as if, once she had feared the darkness, but now she had stepped into it. She had experienced some of the horrors that awaited her there. Terrible as they were, at least she knew.
You always knew. You grew up with horrors, Shallan. You just won't let yourself remember them.
What is this?
Tozbek came up with his wife, Ashley, at his side. The diminutive woman did not speak much. She dressed in a skirt and blouse of bright yellow, a headscarf covering all of her hair except the two white eyebrows, which she had curled down beside her cheeks.
Young miss, you want to go swimming? Can't you wait until we get into port? I know of some nice areas where the water is not nearly so cold.
I won't be swimming. I need to get a closer look at our companion.
She gestured toward the sea creature.
Young miss, you know I can't allow something so dangerous. Even if we stop the ship, what if the beast harmed you?
They're said to be harmless.
They are so rare. Can we really know for certain? Besides, there are other animals in these seas that could harm you. Redwaters hunt this area for certain. And we might be in shallow enough water for Cornax to be a worry. I'm sorry, I just cannot allow it.
Very well.
I'll take you to see some shells in the port at Amidlaten when we stop there, young miss. They have quite a collection.
She didn't know where that was, but she assumed it would be on the Thalen side. Most cities were this far south. Though Thalena was nearly as frigid as the Frostlands, people seemed to enjoy living there. Of course, Thalens were all a little off. How else to describe Yelb and the others wearing no shirts, despite the chill in the air?
They aren't the ones contemplating a dip in the ocean.
She looked over the side of the ship again, watching waves break against the shell of the gentle Santhid.
What is it? A great shelled beast like the chasm fiends of the Shattered Plains? Is it more like a fish under there, or more like a tortoise?
The Santhidin was so rare, and the occasions when scholars had seen them in person so infrequent, that the theories all contradicted one another. She opened her satchel, then set to organizing her papers, most of which were practice sketches of the sailors in various poses as they worked to maneuver the massive sails overhead, tacking against the wind.
My father would never have allowed me to spend a day sitting and watching a bunch of shirtless dark eyes. How much my life has changed in such a short time.
She was working on a sketch of the Santhid's shell when Yasna stepped up onto the deck. Like Shallan, Yasna wore the hava, a Voran dress of distinctive design. The hemline was down at her feet and the neckline almost at her chin. Some of the Thalens, when they thought she wasn't listening, referred to the clothing as prudish. Shallan disagreed. The hava wasn't prudish, but elegant. Indeed, the silk hugged the body, particularly through the bust, and the way the sailors gawked at Yasna indicated they didn't find the garment unflattering. Yasna was pretty. Lush of figure, tan of skin, immaculate eyebrows, lips painted a deep red, hair up in a fine braid. Though Yasna was twice Shallan's age, her mature beauty was something to be admired, even envied.
Why does she have to be so perfect?
Yasna ignored the eyes of the sailors. It wasn't that she didn't notice men. Yasna noticed everything and everyone. She simply didn't seem to care one way or another how men received her.
And here you are. The ship, you may have noticed, has two very fine cabins that I hired out for us at no small expense.
Yes, but they're inside.
As rooms usually are.
I've spent most of my life inside.
So you will spend much more of it if you wish to be a scholar.
Yasna gestured for Captain Toesbeck to approach.
Yes, Brightness?
I should like another of these seats.
Toesbeck quickly had one of his men lash a second box in place. As she waited for the seat to be ready, Yasna waved for Shallan to hand over her sketches. Yasna inspected the drawing of the Santhid, then looked over the side of the ship.
No wonder the sailors were making such a fuss.
Luck, Brightness! It is a good omen for your trip, don't you think?
I shall take any fortune provided me. Thank you for the seat.
Yael bowed awkwardly before retreating.
You think they're superstitious fools?
From what I have observed, these sailors are men who have found a purpose in life and now take simple pleasure in it. Many people make far less out of life. Captain Toesbeck runs a good crew. You were wise in bringing him to my attention.
You didn't answer my question.
You didn't ask a question. These sketches are characteristically skillful, Shallan. But weren't you supposed to be reading?
I had trouble concentrating.
So you came up on deck to sketch pictures of young men working without their shirts on. You expected this to help your concentration?
Shallan blushed as Yasna stopped at one sheet of paper in the stack. Shallan sat patiently. She'd been well trained in that by her father, until Yasna turned it toward her. The picture of Shadesmar, of course.
You have respected my command not to peer into this realm again.
Yes, Brightness. That picture was drawn from a memory of my first lapse.
I assume this is what is bothering you.
Yes, Brightness.
I suppose I should explain it to you then.
Really? You would do this?
You needn't sound so surprised.
It seems like powerful information. The way you forbade me, I assumed that knowledge of this place was secret, or at least not to be trusted to one of my age.
I found that refusing to explain secrets to young people makes them more prone to get themselves into trouble, not less. Your experimentation proves that you've already stumbled face-first into all of this, as I once did myself, I'll have you know. I know through painful experience how dangerous Shadesmar can be. If I leave you in ignorance, I'll be to blame if you get yourself killed there.
So you'd have explained about it if I'd asked earlier in our trip?
Probably not. I had to see how willing you were to obey me. This time.
So what is it? That place?
It's not truly a location, not as we usually think of them. Shadesmar is here, all around us, right now. All things exist there in some form, as all things exist here.
I don't...
All things have three components, the soul, the body, and the mind. That place you saw, Shadesmar, is what we call the cognitive realm, the place of the mind. All around us you see the physical world. You can touch it, see it, hear it. This is how your physical body experiences the world. Well, Shadesmar is the way that your cognitive self, your unconscious self, experiences the world. Through your hidden senses touching that realm, you make intuitive leaps into logic, and you form hopes. It is likely through those extra senses that you, Shallan, create art.
That made almost no sense whatsoever to me, Brightness.
I should hope that it didn't. I've spent 6 years researching Shadesmar, and I still barely know what to make of it. I shall have to accompany you there several times before you can understand, even a little, the true significance of the place. Listen to me. My own words betray my ignorance. I told you that Shadesmar wasn't a place, and yet I call it one in my next breath. I speak of visiting it, though it's all around us. We simply don't have the proper terminology to discuss it. Let me try another tactic.
Yasna stood up, and Shallan hastened to follow. They walked along the ship's rail, feeling the deck sway beneath their feet. Sailors made way for Yasna with quick bows. They regarded her with as much reverence as they would a king.
How does she do it? How can she control her surroundings without seeming to do anything at all?
Look down into the waters. What do you see?
Shallan stopped beside the rail and stared down at the blue waters, foaming as they were broken by the ship's prow. Here, at the bow, she could see a deepness to the swells, an unfathomable expanse that extended not just outward, but downward.
I see eternity.
Spoken like an artist. This ship sails across depths we cannot know. Beneath these waves is a bustling, frantic, unseen world. There is an entire world, Shallan, of which our minds skim but the surface. A world of deep, profound thought. A world created by deep, profound thoughts. When you see Shadesmar, you enter those depths. It is an alien place to us in some ways, but at the same time, we formed it. With some help.
We did what?
What are Spren?
Nobody knows what Spren are, though many philosophers have different opinions on...
No. What are they?
Shallan looked up at a pair of windspren spinning through the air above. They looked like tiny ribbons of light, glowing softly, dancing around one another.
They're living ideas.
Yasna spun on her.
What? Am I wrong?
No, you're right. By my best guess, spren are elements of the cognitive realm that have leaked into the physical world. They're concepts that have gained a fragment of sentience, perhaps because of human intervention. Think of a man who gets angry often. Think of how his friends and family might start referring to that anger as a beast, as a thing that possesses him, as something external to him. Humans personify. We speak of the wind as if it has a will of its own. Spren are those ideas, the ideas of collective human experience. Somehow come alive. Shadesmar is where that first happens, and it is their place. Though we created it, they shaped it. They live there, they rule there, within their own cities.
Cities?
Yes! Spren are wild in their variety. Some are as clever as humans and create cities. Others are like fish and simply swim in the currents.
Does this have to do with what you discovered? About the Parshmen, the Voidbringers?
I haven't been able to determine that yet. The Spren are not always forthcoming. In some cases, they do not know. In others, they do not trust me because of our ancient betrayal.
Betrayal?
They tell me of it, but they won't say what it was. We broke an oath, and in so doing offended them greatly. I think some of them may have died, though how a concept can die, I do not know. I realize this is overwhelming. Are you still willing?
Do I have a choice?
I doubt it. You sold Cast on your own without the aid of a Fabril. You are like me.
Shallan stared out over the waters.
Like Yasna. What does it mean? Why...
She froze, blinking. For a moment, she thought she'd seen the same pattern as before, the one that had made ridges on her sheet of paper. This time, it had been in the water, impossibly formed on the surface of a wave.
Brightness! I thought I saw something in the water just now. A pattern of sharp lines, like a maze.
Show me where.
It was on one of the waves, and we've passed it now, but I think I saw it earlier on one of my pages. Does it mean something?
Most certainly. I must admit, Shallan, I find the coincidence of our meeting to be startling. Suspiciously so.
Brightness?
They were involved. They brought you to me. And they are still watching you, it appears. So no, Shallan, you no longer have a choice. The old ways are returning, and I don't see it as a hopeful sign. It's an act of self-preservation. The Spren sense impending danger, and so they return to us. Our attention now must turn to the shattered plains and the relics of Urithiru. It will be a long, long time before you return to your homeland.
Shallan nodded mutely.
This worries you.
Yes, Brightness. My family.
Shallan felt like a traitor in abandoning her brothers, who had been depending on her for wealth. She'd written to them and explained, without many specifics, that she'd had to return the stolen soul caster and was now required to help Yasna with her work. Balat's reply had been positive, after a fashion. He said he was glad at least one of them had escaped the fate that was coming to the house. He thought that the rest of them, her three brothers and Balat's betrothed, were doomed. They might be right. Not only would father's debts crush them, but there was the matter of her father's broken soul caster. The group that had given it to him wanted it back. Unfortunately, Shallan was convinced that Yasna's quest was of the utmost importance. The Voidbringers would soon return. Indeed, they were not some distant threat from stories. They lived among men and had for centuries. The gentle, quiet Parshmen who worked as perfect servants and slaves were really destroyers. Stopping the catastrophe of the return of the Voidbringers was a greater duty than even protecting her brothers. It was still painful to admit that.
With regard to your family, Shallan, I have taken some action.
Action? You've helped my brothers?
After a fashion. Wealth would not truly solve this problem, I suspect, though I have arranged for a small gift to be sent. From what you've said, your family's problems really stem from two issues. First, the Ghostbloods desire their soul caster, which you have broken, to be returned. Second, your house is without allies and deeply in debt.
Yasna proffered a sheet of paper.
This is from a conversation I had with my mother via span read this morning.
Shallan traced it with her eyes, noting Yasna's explanation of the broken soul caster and her request for help. Shallan read Navani's words.
This happens more often than you'd think. The failing likely has to do with the alignment of the gem housings. Bring me the device and we shall see.
My mother is a renowned artifabrian. I suspect she can make yours function again. We can send it to your brothers, who can return it to its owners.
You'd let me do that?
During their day's sailing, Shallan had cautiously pried for more information about the sect, hoping to understand her father and his motives. Yasna claimed to know very little of them beyond the fact that they wanted her research and were willing to kill for it.
I don't particularly want them having access to such a valuable device, but I don't have time to protect your family right now directly. This is a workable solution, assuming your brothers can stall a while longer. Have them tell the truth, if they must, that you, knowing I was a scholar, came to me and asked me to fix the Soulcaster. Perhaps that will sate them for now.
Thank you, Brightness. Storms.
If she'd just gone to Yasna in the first place after being accepted as her ward, how much easier would it have been? Shallan looked down at the paper.
As for the other matter, I'm very fond of this suggestion. I believe I can persuade the boy to at least consider it, as his most recent affair ended quite abruptly, as is common with him, earlier in the week.
What is the second part?
Sating the ghost bloods alone will not save your house. Your debts are too great, particularly considering your father's actions in alienating so many. I have therefore arranged a powerful alliance for your house.
Alliance? How?
I have taken the initial steps in arranging for you to be betrothed to one of my cousins, son of my uncle Dalinar Colin. The boy's name is Adolin. He is handsome and well acquainted with amiable discourse.
Betrothed? You've promised him my hand?
I have started the process. Though at times he lacks foresight, Adolin has a good heart, as good as that of his father, who may be the best man I have ever known. He is considered Alethkar's most eligible son, and my mother has long wanted him wed.
Betrothed?
Yes. Is that distressing?
It's wonderful. So easy. If I'm married to someone so powerful... Storms! Nobody would dare touch us in Yakaved. It would solve many of our problems. Brightness Yasna, you're a genius.
Yes, well, it did seem a workable solution. I had wondered, however, if you'd be offended.
Why on the winds would I be offended?
Because of the restriction of freedom implicit in a marriage. And if not that, because the offer was made without consulting you. I had to see if the possibility was even open first. It has proceeded further than I'd expected, as my mother has seized on the idea. Navani has a tendency towards the overwhelming.
Stormfather, you're worried I'd be offended. Brightness, I've spent my entire life locked in my father's manor. I grew up assuming he'd pick my husband.
But you're free of your father now.
Yes, and I was so perfectly wise in my own pursuit of relationships. The first man I chose was not only an ardent, but secretly an assassin.
It doesn't bother you at all? The idea of being beholden to another, particularly a man?
It's not like I'm being sold into slavery.
No, I suppose not. Well, I will let Navani know you are amenable to the engagement, and we should have a causal in place within the day.
A causal? A conditional betrothal in Voran terminology. She would be, for all intents and purposes, engaged, but would have no legal footing until an official betrothal was signed and verified by the Ardents.
The boy's father has said he will not force Adolin into anything, though the boy is recently single, as he has managed to offend yet another young lady. Regardless, Dalinar would rather you two meet before anything more binding is agreed upon. There have been shifts in the political climate of the Shattered Plains. A great loss to my uncle's army. Another reason for us to hasten to the plains.
Adolin Colin, a duelist, a fantastic one, and even a shard bearer.
Ah, so you were paying attention to your readings about my father and family.
I was, but I knew about your family before that. The Alethi are the center of society. Even girls from rural houses know the names of the Alethi princes. But Brightness, are you certain this match will be wise? I mean, I'm hardly the most important of individuals.
Well, yes. The daughter of another High Prince might have been preferable for Adolin. However, it seems that he has managed to offend each and every one of the eligible women of that rank. The boy is, shall we say, somewhat overeager about relationships. Nothing you can't work through, I'm sure.
Stormfather, he's heir to a princedom. He's in line to the throne of Alethkar itself.
Third in line, behind my brother's infant son and Dalinar, my uncle.
Brightness, I have to ask. Why Adolin? Why not the younger son? I have nothing to offer Adolin or the house.
On the contrary, if you are what I think you are, then you will be able to offer him something nobody else can. Something more important than riches.
What is it you think I am?
Right now, you are but a promise, a chrysalis with the potential for grandeur inside. When once humans and Spren bonded, the results were women who danced in the skies, and men who could destroy the stones with a touch.
The lost radiance. Traitors to mankind.
She couldn't absorb it all. The betrothal, Shadesmar, and the Spren, and this, her mysterious destiny. She'd known, but speaking it. She sank down, heedless of getting her dress wet on the deck, and sat with her back against the bulwark. Yasna allowed her to compose herself before, amazingly, sitting down herself. She did so with far more poise, tucking her dress underneath her legs as she sat sideways. They both drew looks from the sailors.
They're going to chew me to pieces. The Alethi court. It's the most ferocious in the world.
Oh, it's more bluster than storm, Shallan. I will train you.
I'll never be like you, Brightness. You have power, authority, wealth. Just look at how the sailors respond to you.
Am I specifically using said power, authority, or wealth right now?
You paid for this trip?
Did you not pay for several trips on this ship? They did not treat you the same as they do me?
No. Oh, they are fond of me. But I don't have your weight, Yasna.
I will assume that did not have implications towards my girth. I understand your argument, Shallan. It is, however, dead wrong. There is a secret you must learn, child. A secret that is even more important than those relating to Shadesmar and Spren. Power is an illusion of perception. Don't mistake me. Some kinds of power are real. Power to command armies, power to soulcast. These come into play far less often than you would think. On an individual basis, in most interactions, this thing we call power, authority, exists only as it is perceived. You say I have wealth. This is true. But you have also seen that I do not often use it. You say I have authority as the sister of a king. I do. And yet the men of this ship would treat me exactly the same way if I were a beggar who had convinced them I was the sister to a king. In that case, my authority is not a real thing. It is mere vapors, an illusion. I can create that illusion for them, as can you.
I'm not convinced, Brightness.
I know. If you were, you would be doing it already. You will tell me if you see that pattern, the one that appeared on the waves again?
Yes, Brightness.
Then take the rest of the day for your art. I need to consider how to best teach you of Shadesmar.
The older woman retreated, nodding at the bows of sailors as she passed, and went back down below decks. Shallan rose, then turned and grabbed the railing, one hand to either side of the bowsprit. The ocean spread before her, rippling waves, a scent of cold freshness. Yasna's words fought in her mind, like sky eels with only one rat between them. Spren, with cities. Shadesmar, a realm that was here but unseen. Shallan suddenly betrothed to the single most important bachelor in the world. She left the bow, walking along the side of the ship, free hand trailing on the railing. How did the sailors regard her? They smiled, they waved, they liked her. Yalb, who hung lazily from the rigging nearby, noticed her.
Brightness, when we reach our next port, there is a statue you must visit. It's this giant foot, young miss. Just a foot, Never finished the blustering statue!
She smiled to him and continued.
Do I want them to look at me as they look at Jasnah? Always afraid, always worried that they might do something wrong? Is that power? When I first sailed from Vaidenar, the captain kept urging me to go home. He saw my mission as a fool's errand.
Tozbek had always acted as if he were doing her a favor in conveying her after Jasnah.
Should I have had to spend that entire time feeling as if I'd imposed upon him and his crew by hiring them?
Yes, he had offered a discount to her because of her father's business with him in the past, but she'd still been employing him. The way he'd treated her was probably a thing of Thalen merchants. If a captain could make you feel like you were imposing on him, you'd pay better. She liked the man, but their relationship left something to be desired.
Jasnah would never have stood for being treated in such a way.
The Santhid still swam alongside. It was like a tiny mobile island. Its back was overgrown with seaweed, small crystals jutting up from the shell. Shallan turned and walked toward the stern where Captain Tozbek spoke with one of his mates, pointing at a map covered with glyphs. He nodded to her as she approached.
Just a warning, young miss. The ports will soon grow less accommodating. We'll be leaving Longbrow Straits, curving around the eastern edge of the continent, toward New Nathanon. There's nothing of worth between here and the shallow crypts. And even that's not much of a sight. I wouldn't send my own brother ashore there without guards, and he's killed 17 men with his bare hands, he has.
I understand, Captain. And thank you. I've revised my earlier decision. I need you to halt the ship and let me inspect the specimen swimming beside us.
Brightness that is not advisable. Stormfather, if I dropped you in the ocean...
Then I would be wet. It is a state I've experienced one or two times in my life.
No, I simply cannot allow it. Like I said, we'll take you to see some shells.
Cannot allow it? I wasn't aware I had made a request you had the power to allow or disallow, Captain. Stop the ship. Lower me down. That is your order.
Tozbek worked his mouth for a moment, no sound coming out, as if his body were trying to continue his earlier objection, but his mind had been delayed.
It is my ship!
Nothing will be done to your ship. Let's be quick about it, Captain. I do not wish to overly delay our arrival in port tonight.
She left him, walking back to her box, heart thumping, hands trembling. She sat down, partially to calm herself. The sails were lowered, the ship slowed.
Phew!
Shallan felt a fool, and yet, what Jasnah said worked. The way Shallan acted created something in the eyes of Tozbek. An illusion? Like the Spren themselves, perhaps? Fragments of human expectation given life? The Santhid slowed with them. Shallan rose, nervous, as sailors approached with rope. They reluctantly tied a loop at the bottom she could put her foot in, then explained that she should hold tightly to the rope as she was lowered. They tied a second smaller rope securely around her waist, the means by which to haul her, wet and humiliated, back onto the deck. An inevitability in their eyes. She took off her shoes, then climbed up over the railing as instructed.
Was it this windy before?
She had a moment of vertigo, standing there with socked toes gripping a tiny rim, dress fluttering in the coursing winds. A windspren zipped up to her, then formed into the shape of a face with clouds behind it.
Storms! That thing had better not interfere.
Was it human imagination that had given windspren their mischievous spark? She stepped unsteadily into the rope loop as the sailors lowered it down beside her feet. Then Yalb handed her the mask he'd told her of. Jasnah appeared from below decks, looking about in confusion. She saw Shallan standing off the side of the ship, and then cocked an eyebrow. Shallan shrugged, then gestured to the men to lower her. She refused to let herself feel silly as she inched toward the waters and the reclusive animal bobbing in the waves. The men stopped her a foot or two above the water, and she put on the mask, held by straps, covering most of her face, including the nose.
Lower!
She thought she could feel their reluctance in the lethargic way the rope descended. Her foot hit the water, and a biting cold shot up her leg.
Stormfather!
But she didn't have them stop. She let them lower her farther until her legs were submerged in the frigid water. Her skirt ballooned out in a most annoying way, and she actually had to step on the end of it inside the loop to prevent it from rising up about her waist and floating on the water's surface as she submerged. She wrestled with the fabric for a moment, glad the men above couldn't see her blushing. Once it got wetter, though, it was easier to manage. She finally was able to squat, still holding tightly to the rope, and go down into the water up to her waist. Then, she ducked her head under the water. Light streamed down from the surface in shimmering, radiant columns. There was life here. Furious, amazing life. Tiny fish zipped this way and that, picking at the underside of the shell that shaded a majestic creature. Gnarled, like an ancient tree, with rippled and folded skin, the true form of the Xanthid was a beast with long, drooping blue tendrils, like those of a jellyfish, only far thicker. These disappeared down into the depths, trailing behind the beast at a slant. The beast itself was a knotted gray-blue mass underneath the shell. Its ancient-looking folds surrounded one large eye on her side. Presumably, its twin would be on the other side. It seemed ponderous, yet majestic, with mighty fins moving like oarsmen. A group of strange spren shaped like arrows moved through the water here around the beast. Schools of fish darted about. Though the depths seemed empty, the area just around the Xanthid teemed with life, as did the area under the ship. Tiny fish picked at the bottom of the vessel. They'd move between the Xanthid and the ship, sometimes alone, sometimes in waves. Was this why the creature swam up beside a vessel? Something to do with the fish and their relationship to it? She looked upon the creature, and its eye, as big as her head, rolled toward her, focusing, seeing her. In that moment, Shallan couldn't feel the cold. She couldn't feel embarrassed. She was looking into a world that, so far as she knew, no scholar had ever visited. She blinked her eyes, taking a memory of the creature, collecting it for later sketching.